something like that, like the Pathomachana. Okay. So it's compared, or it can be level of that state, but it's different from the development of jhana, because the object is different, the panya is different. But since the panya is so high at that moment, which can experience nibbana, so it's called, or it's compared, or it can be given, like, but not exactly, samatha bhavana.
At that moment, it's above
the upajara.
It's by
aramana, only.
By experience of the
aramana of nibbana.
And can that arise during the jhana also, the vipassana jhana?
No, because for vipassana jhana it is khanika samadhi.
Because the
object changes all the time, arising and falling away.
Whereas nibbana doesn't. All 16 jhana, they're not at that level yet. Can it be upajara?
It depends on whether it is the one who has developed samatha before. And at that moment, the citta can be the object of that level, can be the object of sati. That's why when we talk about citta nupassana sipatthana, it includes all kinds of citta. Because when panya grows, and it can know anything according to the accumulation of the individual. If that person hasn't developed samatha bhavana to the degree of jhana or upajara, then the other citta at that moment is the object of vipassana or satipatthana.
Can it be that the person has never developed jhana in this lifetime, but at the moment of jhana?
Yeah, by previous accumulation. You have jhana, not wanting to have the citta of this or that level, because that is by attachment to want to crave for it. Even that moment is so peaceful, or any level of samadhi, vipassana see it as just a reality in order to become detached.
So when you have khanika samadhi in satipatthana, it can also develop along with satipatthana. Samadhi that comes with
samadhi is ekakata cetasika, arises with each citta, so it depends on at level it is. But it has to be the kusala citta, the satipatthana, with what level of samadhi, or with object of what level. It can be citta with such and such samadhi as object. And thinking of panya, which can experience that object, which is some level of samadhi, see, just a reality. It's different from the moment when it's the development of samatha, because at that moment there is no understanding of nama and rupa at all.
So the main point is the panya that's developed, all the rest is just fringe
benefits. Conditions.
Quite different from sitting meditation, I think. Or the same.
What do people mean by sitting meditation? I mean, sitting is, it's just a story of position. It's not, now I'm sitting. If I think I am sitting, and I think there's an I who is sitting, and I think there's a sitting position, that's just lost in a world of concept.
I just would like you to explain.
But I know you know what I
mean. I'd like you to explain.
I think what I like is what you said yesterday about all the time there's a vijja. There's a vijja that thinks there's a self, there's a vijja that mistakes tables and chairs and everything for realities, for something that exists. It also mistakes realities like hardness as things that are lasting. Sthiti is, well, a vijja, what's the difference?
Avijja doesn't know anything at all. It doesn't have any idea. It doesn't know. It cannot know. Even the object appears, it cannot understand reality as it is. That is avijja. It really cannot understand. But ditti is the wrong understanding. It has the idea of something which is not right.
Because we have concepts about people, right? We can know this is a concept. And we don't have a ditty about it. We know seen a person as a concept. It's not ditti. It can even be understanding, or it can be just a vijaya without the idea. Yeah.
I'm having this problem because titi is a thought, it's a concept of something. So I wonder the element of titi, it's supposed to be very subtle. Is it supposed to be an element that sticks a concept, or it's a concept as it is?
The object as something's there. That is the idea of concept. For example,
that's titi.
Yeah, titi. Stay okay. Permanent. Not dukkha, sukha, all the four, vipalasa, with titi, or with sanya, or with citta.
Some kinds of lopa doesn't arise, is that it?
Sotapanna eradicates four lopa mula citta with titi. Sotapanna know who's who.
Is that one of the functions of the citta niyama?
Citta niyama is the nature of citta which arises and falls. Mm-hmm. That is citta niyama.
Does that entail also the remembering who's who?
That is not citta niyama. Citta niyama is the nature of citta.
I try to understand what is titi because I can't understand.
Excuse me, when titi does not appear, can you try to understand it?
Trying to understand the characteristic and the functions of titi.
But when it arises, you know, you realize instantly that it is titi.
Yeah, but...
Because it still takes reality for yours.
Yes, Ajahn.
With titi, or with lopa, or with mana.
Don't we have to understand the characteristics
much,
first, then we can understand what's arising?
As much as one can understand intellectually, it's trying to understand. But whenever it arises, you don't have to try. But awareness can be aware and understand instantly.
I just want to understand, like for example, contact. If there's no contact, then the rupa and the nama won't be able to contact. So,
you'd like to experience contact or what?
No, no, no.
You
just
want
to
understand contact.
Anyway, the Sotapanna has eradicated all three of those. What is the third one?
Doubt.
No self-view, no doubt. Oh, clinging to rites and rituals. Rules and rituals. That's also DT.
Even doubt is connected to DT.
And doubt is connected.
Doubt is one jetasika, vichikitsa jetasika.
Trying to ask Ajahn, what's the difference between titi and
that they don't know yet how to decide.
I like dosa.
Yeah, yeah.
Chanda, which likes.
The Sotapanna has eradicated these three main fetters, the first three fetters, and a Sotapanna can...
And the three?
Diti, sila...
Sila, but it's also diti.
It's also diti.
Without diti, there is no sila pata brahmas.
Without diti, there is no clinging to rites and rituals, but there can be diti without clinging to rites and rituals. They're the same thing. Are they interchangeable?
Different types of diti.
Different types of diti. And doubt. Take, for example, a monk who is supposed to follow the 227 precepts in the Vinaya. Is it possible or impossible for a monk to break rules in the precepts in these 227 but still be Sotapanna?
Yeah, I can answer that. The Sotapanna can still break some of the 227 rules, but it says once he knows that he has broken a rule, he can never conceal it. Mm-hmm. And when he confesses it, he will sincerely give up doing that misdeed again.
So if a monk rides a bicycle...
I don't know if that's in the Vinaya. But he might take some money, for example, once. Mm. Once. And then...
Sotapanna?
It's theoretically possible.
No.
Sotapanna?
Not at all.
That's stealing.
It's only trivial things.
Trivial things are, okay.
Digging the earth is my... I guess that's my question.
Can we say, Ajahn, that as long as there's avijja, there's always a possibility of breaking the precepts?
Not intentionally,
right. Mm.
Yeah, but to come back to his question, he says, you know, can a monk who's a sotapanna dig in the ground.
So you try to know who's a sotapanna or not. The one who does not dig might be.
Can we check every once in a while to make sure we are not sotapanna by going out and having a drink?
I think that it's useless.
Yeah, I was going to bring one to Eric's party.
Okay. Why not talking about the development of understanding instead?
I still would like to find out about the monk. Any monk who has attained sotapanna, if he knew all the rules, would he break any of them?
Not intentionally.
What about in Vasiddhi Magga, where it says concentration is the proximate cause for insight? We get these sort of questions
right
quite a lot.
Concentration.
Obviously, yeah. Must be right concentration of the Eightfold Path, yeah. But if it's Kanika Samadhi, it's not particularly strong concentration to be.
Not necessary to be strong concentration at all.
Okay.
It could also be very strong.
It depends, because at moment of being aware, it's not strong concentration at all. Because there is awareness and the development of understanding. Even the characteristic of concentration does not appear at the moment of being aware, because there is the characteristic of awareness, which is aware, not the concentration. But when object appears so clear, at that moment one knows that all the other path is keen and strong enough.
I think they're talking about fairly high level of panya. Because when they say that in the Vasuddhi Magga, because maybe like at the level of vipassana at least, when they say that concentration is the proximate cause, because at stage of vipassana, it.
But you see that since people would like to concentrate,
yes.
And they don't know, when it's said that the proximate cause is concentration, they take it suddenly without considering whether it is wrong or right. Just any kind of concentration, but that's wrong. One should know that it has to be just the right one.
How does one know if concentration is right concentration or wrong concentration?
When there is no panya, can it be right?
Panya knows.
Otherwise, it's not panya.
Doesn't know it's not panya, yeah. Doubt is not panya.
Pariyati, intellectual knowledge, is the most very necessary, right?
Yes, yeah. Very important.
What I'm doing is pariyati, Ajahn. Like, I'm studying and to understand.
If there is right understanding, it will lead to the development of higher and higher understanding. So one knows how much one understands reality when one studies. It doesn't mean that one just understands the word about realities. For example, what Buddha taught us is all about this moment, here. No matter it's lobha or dosa or doubt or seeing or hearing, he just explained to everyone to understand reality as it is, not doing something in order to understand it, because there are conditions for its arising already.
And when we're not happy with our level of understanding, what is the paramattha dharma at that moment? It's it's dosa or it's lopa, wanting more. And if it's not seen as dosa or lopa, and if it's not seen as obstructive, then it hinders the path. But if it's seen that dosa is not understanding, well, then at that moment there's understanding. If doubt is seen as doubt, then it's not an obstruction, it's an object for insight. But if we just keep wanting and wanting to have more than what is here now, we're moving away out of the present moment, and it's totally counterproductive.
But it happens.
It can
be objective, right?
But is it good to always discourage people that you're having wrong view, you're going too fast, you don't even know what they're thinking?
What one should do is just explain the right thing.
Yeah.
And if one doesn't have enough confidence in one's ability to explain, one should say nothing?
Because we know about the result whether it's good or useful or not. If it's useless, we do not do anything which is useless.
Only do something that can help.
Related question. Does the strength of ditthi increases each time we repeatedly think about it?
Yeah, it's like accumulation.
So if you do some wrong practice, for example, there will be more and more clinging to that practice week after week, year after year.
And especially when you speculate about other people's
view,
and you get even more stuck up with that, they are like that, they are like that, you know.
And what about one's own citta at that moment?
Even that, we tend to make conclusions so easily about our own state. And
at that moment, there is no awareness at all.
Or you say that I'm of this nature and I'm of that nature. In fact, you are increasing the possibility of being like that. If you say that I am prone to get angry, does that make the chances of anger rising more?
Usually that's one thing about it. I'm growing to have anger. Yeah.
Emphasizing the self, I'm this, I'm that, I worry about, well, I'm this thing on the path, I'm that thing on it. It's merely increasing the self concept.
Concepts aren't conditioned.
Yes, but in a day, does anyone do like that?
Reality check. I'd like to ask about if somebody made a claim that he's a Sotapanna because his teacher told him he was one, should we be interested in that?
It's not a matter of should or should not at all.
Why would somebody say something like that, I wonder?
Ignorance. What's the use of saying I am a Sotapanna? What's the motive?
Yeah, exactly.
See?
I think so.
What for?
Is somebody saying, oh, that's a view, and somebody saying, well, I have no view.
There is understanding.
Exactly.
So to the extent that somebody is claiming to be a Sotapanna, is it useful to come to a conclusion?
I didn't pay any attention at all. Why that person said like that?
On the other hand, some people might tend to give more attention and ask questions and guru there.
Why just not talk about realities and the way leading to the realization of the noble truth?
And if he were a real Sotapanna, he wouldn't say that he went out and have a drink or something, although
what's
he's a Sotapanna.
What's the use?
Maybe a modern Sotapanna who drinks.
What's the use?
Sort of Sotapanna bar.
And what that person would do if he said, and what?
We're not here just by chance because we decided, right, we have the intention to get the right teaching. But also it's just conditions that are happening to cause that, to cause whether it's right or wrong. There are conditions.
And it's also your own understanding too. Otherwise you might not get it. You cannot say whether what's right and what's wrong. So it has to be your own understanding.
I talk to many different people. But slowly, by asking questions, I came to see more and more who was right and who was wrong. It's like, in the beginning, when I was first interested in Buddhism, I used to listen to some of these monks, and I thought they were right. And then I'd listen a bit more. After a few years, I'd listen, and they were talking like there was really a self who could do this and could do that. And at the beginning, I thought, well, they know it's anatta, but they're just talking this way conventionally, because they must know that everything's anatta, right? You know, I'd read that in the Tipitaka. Then I got a bit brave and I asked a couple of them questions. And I found out that actually it wasn't just conventionally. They really thought some dharmas were controllable. And this suddenly shattered my confidence in them. I realized, hey, these guys really don't know what is right.
I think ultimately it's if you're going to be fooled, you're going to be fooled. If you're going to meet the right teacher, you're going to meet the right teacher. If not, you're not.
So what you mean is Kalyanamitta. And Buddha himself is the best Supreme Kalyanamitta, and not only him, the others who understand reality can be one's Kalyanamitta too.
It was probably from a ditti. I used to think like a good teacher won't have people clinging to him, following him in the way that those photographs showed. So,
when one understands reality, one will not be excited at all to hear or to see someone who claims. Because if one knows the path, then it's not what they say, that they are an arahata. By just saying.
And as long as we are not Sotapannas, there's always a danger of being misled. Unless, of course, we are in good company.
When one studies and one understands more and more about reality, there is no way to develop other way, which doesn't help one to understand realities.
If
all of a sudden he had to move away and be away from the group of friends and teachers, isn't there a risk always to be misled and fall off the path?